Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hi, Rachel. Hi, Becca. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
So happy to have you both here. So, Becca, you've been on the show, but Rachel is brand new to the show. So why don't you just go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us a little bit about Consensual Podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am Becca Morgan. So I am one of the authors of season 2 of Consensual, which is Hookup State of Mind. And then Rachel, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah. My name is Rachel Borgo. I am the series director of Consensual, just a fancy way of saying that I direct the audio series. I also have a hand in editing the novella. I as a working professional, I am a freelancer for a writer, essentially. I ghostwrite novels, I write screenplays and plays. And I also do some professional writing as well.
I love this. So I really want to talk more about your job, Rachel. But first, let's talk about Consensual. Becca, tell us, what made you start the podcast? And, what should we expect from it? You know, absolutely, for those who haven't listened to our previous episode.
Of course. So Consensual started because both Rachel and I are ghostwriters in the romance industry. And as we were writing romance novels, we saw some things that we didn't really like so much. We didn't see the kind of explicit consent that we wanted to see in the romance industry. Mm-hmm. And we also just felt like some of these characters, it was like the authors were a little bit out of touch. The example I always give is, why are we in a city? Somebody's living in Manhattan and driving their car everywhere. And I'm like, what's going on?
No. No.
Right? Or we're living in Chicago and it's I drive over and I find I park right next to her building. And I'm like, what? No, you don't.
Impossible.
Impossible.
Right? I'm like, I don't believe this. Or people being I called a cab and I'm like, who's called a cab in 5 years? No, you call an Uber. And that's just a side effect of the fact that, not a lot of romance writers are, generally when people get romance book deals or really are able to start doing that work, they're either in their 20s and they're very, very privileged, or they're a little bit later in their career. So we wanted to create romance for readers like us. And readers like us are also not necessarily readers, we're listeners. I'm a huge audiobook person. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be more accessible than that. We're available entirely for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, because at one point, Rachel and I wanted to be listening to these audiobooks because we have to listen to romance to be writing romance, or read romance to be writing romance. But I'm not made of money. I can't be buying romance novels every month. I don't have that kind of money. So it's accessible. It's consent-based. It's romance for people who might not think of themselves as romance readers.
I love this. And so, Rachel, what is the experience like to direct a series? How does that work?
It's so much fun. Just to start off saying that, I enjoy it so very much. It was a very different experience for me between the previous year, our first season of 10-week Turnabout, and mm-hmm. the second season, which unfortunately we began recording during the pandemic. So. Mm-hmm. I say unfortunately, but there was actually a lot of good things that came out of it. Instead of having everybody in the same room as we did for a 10-week Turnabout, and having that sort of fun familial element and shooting the shit and just having a great time recording together, it was very much so one-on-one. I was on Zoom calls or Google Hangout or FaceTime, whatever the actor preferred, with individual actors. And that gave me an opportunity to spend a lot more time with people as individuals and spend more time working on their characters and discussing the characters and finding those little nuances. And it was a blast. Again, very different from the first year, but I really enjoyed it. And I feel like the actors really got a lot out of it as well. And we created a really, I think, wonderful product. Listening to the podcast now is just a dream, because I hear all these moments where I remember saying, like, that was it, that was the take, good job, like, to the actor. And it's in the podcast now, and it feels really good to have a part in that.
I love this. So what is it like to write for the podcast and then write a novella, because they're different styles, I'm assuming, because this is full cast audio. So
yeah, so Hookup State, both 10 Week Turnabout and Hookup State of Mind, we've kind of developed a process, because we are, well, I don't have a ton of familiarity with script writing. Mm-hmm. Rachel, on the other hand, has a lot of familiarity with script writing. She's written movies. She's a rock star. Oh my God. But, so for both of these books, we wrote a novella first, and you can purchase the novella as an ebook, both 10 Week Turnabout and Hookup State of Mind. But then Rachel takes the novella and turns it magically, like some kind of wizard, into a script. Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting, because things will change from the novella version to the script version, just because, you know, the he saids and she saids, or the dialogue will just be broken up a little bit different. So then we get to go back to the novella afterwards and make it match the script version. And it also, it means that the novella gets more and more rounds of edits, because as Rachel works with it, she realizes, wait a second, this doesn't sound quite right. Or, I'm not sure, you know, it allows us to really dive in and perfect that story before it goes live.
I love this. And so let's talk about ghostwriting. So you both are ghostwriters. So how did you end up doing that? You know?
Well, both of us were referred. And that's really the best way you can get a ghostwriting job, because no authors are out there like posting on Indeed, like looking for a ghostwriter. There's something sort of like taboo about it, which is silly, because it is a legitimate profession. But yeah, we both got our ghostwriting gigs through referrals, and have both of us started around the same time. So we've both been ghostwriting for about 3.5 years now.
That's great. And so let's chat about Hookup State of Mind. So tell us about the story and why should we listen to it?
Yeah. So Hookup State of Mind stars Cleo, who is a secondary character in season one, 10 Week Turnabout. And Cleo is a plus size actress, and she speaks her mind. She is very body positive, sex positive, will, you know, shoots from the hip and says everything that she thinks. And she books a mini series in Niagara Falls and flies out there, leaves her nanny and gig behind for a couple weeks to go film this series, and then matches with a handsome guy who she keeps running into in the hotel, who's there for a conference, and thinks that this will be nothing more than a hookup to keep her occupied for the week during a stressful week of filming. And it turns out to be much more in a couple different ways. I won't spoil the twist, because although I guess the twist is spoiled in the Amazon blurb if you do read the ebook, but there is a twist. And I thought that the twist was obvious when I was writing it. And then everybody I was talking to as they listened to the podcast or read the book said that they totally didn't see it coming. So
that's,
did you
such
see
a
it?
Compliment. That's right? Such a compliment.
I yeah. know. Laura, did you see it coming?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
And
okay.
A lot of romance, and I'm like, this is unique. So.
That, ooh, what unique. A huge compliment. Wow. Cause I, right. It's so hard as the writer, right? I see all of the, you know, all of the clues and the evidence leading up to the twist. So I'm like, ah, yes, the writing's on the wall. But I'm really happy that it was a surprise for other people.
I think that just adds a little pizzazz to the podcast experience and even to the novella experience. So I like it.
Hey, I'm glad.
Love this. So what was the process of writing or just recording? You mentioned a little bit of recording the pandemic. Like, you know, is there anything different that happened, you know, that you wish you were like, you know, compared to season one, you're like, oh, we would like to bring it back after the pandemic, or there are things that you're like, you know, this is great working environment, we can keep doing this way.
I think that both models, like what we did for season one and season two, I think they're both sustainable. And it would be, I think, really wonderful for us to be able to mesh those two models and use it for season three and beyond. Because something that I did miss terribly from season one is that the first rehearsal that we had was a table read. And so we brought in all of the actors, which, can you even imagine like having 10 people in the same like small apartment? Anxiety. But at that time that was like chill and cool. So we brought in all of the actors and sat on the floor in a circle. Everybody had their scripts and we read through, I want to say, all of the novella. So it was like a hefty, like 4-hour table read. We had pizza. It was just, it felt very communal and collaborative. So this season has been different, but we also are more of like a well-oiled machine now. Mm-hmm. I work with the sound engineer very closely, and our rapport has just definitely improved. And I think Becca could agree to that. We kind of are on the same page now, in terms of like, I don't know much about sound engineering, right? So I've learned much from him in terms of like what mixing is, what mastering is. And so I think that as a whole, like the machine of Consensual has improved. And I think that we did a really great job with the individual recording sessions, like one per actor with season two. But I am looking forward to, in the future, when it's safe again, having everybody together once again, in order to do that sort of table read and have that kind of theater feel, because Becca and I both have backgrounds in theater, and that matters to us.
So I've got a question. How did you two meet? Like, how did you connect it?
Okay. I have to talk about this because this is one of my favorite things to talk about. So Rachel and I went to college together, and we were both creative writing majors, and we were both involved in theater. Rachel was a double major in theater. I was a theater minor. So we were in some of the same classes and just ran in some of the same circles. And I wanted to be Rachel's friend so bad. Like, oh my God, I thought she was so cool and she was so funny. And I just, oh my God, like I remember getting coffee together maybe once, like end of freshman year, but that it just like, I don't know, it just didn't really happen. We were in a couple shows together and we had some mutual friends, but it just never quite happened. And then we both, you know, we both ended up ghostwriting. We got a little bit, you know, a little bit closer senior year maybe, but we both ended up ghostwriting, and we had commiserated a little bit on some of the things in the romance industry that we'd like to see change. And so we sat down over a couple beers. What is that, over 2 years ago now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my God. And I like plopped this binder in front of Rachel and was like, this is like my research. These are my ideas. Like, this is what I think we could build. And then Rachel started like coming up with more ideas and things I hadn't even thought of. So, and I remember being like nervous to meet up with Rachel, cause I'm like, we're not even really like friends like that, but whatever. And now Rachel is one of my absolute best friends, and I'm so grateful for Consensual that, like, even if poof, you know, even if something were to happen and we were never able to like make a season three, you know, or if now I know I have like a friend for life in Rachel, and I'm like, oh my God, I wish I could tell freshman year Becca that she finally got to be friends with Rachel. She'd be so stoked.
Oh my God. So sweet. I'm always so flattered. This is my favorite story that Becca tells. If you didn't know. I love hearing about how great I am. But truthfully, yeah, in college, my priorities were all sorts of effed up. And I missed out on an opportunity to become friends with Becca earlier. And that is a huge regret of mine. And now that we are friends and we kind of have this hive mind that we share, it's just, it feels like fate. It feels like kismet and that we deserve this friendship.
Yeah, we did. We earned this.
Yeah, we did. We earned it.
I love this. I would tell you, like, this pandemic has taught me how to make friends, like, online, like, how to introduce myself, how to introduce myself in a conversation, but, like, I want to just be your friend.
Yes.
Like, yeah, like, just, like, up front.
You know, like, it's like, I need connection, you know? And, like, we have things alike. I see you on social media, like, even just a conversation with Toby, I'm like, oh, you know, like, I can connect with you. Like, I can see we're in the same sphere, you know?
Right. That's, yeah. I have a friend, and romance honestly has given me, and specifically consensual, has given me kind of some unexpected friends, because this woman, Ella Dawson is her name, and she is oh my God, she's so cool. She, she had a viral TED talk. She used to work for TED. And she has her first, she's working with an agent right now on her first romance novel. And she calls it, in terms of, like, books I'm looking forward to, I, like, cannot wait to read Ella's book. But I connected with her because she was working for a company that I wanted to work with consensual. She no longer works for that company, but now she and I are really good friends. And, you know, we talk regularly and we can talk about romance, and you know, I'm gonna beta read her book, and it's right. And it's, like, so unexpected. She lives in New York. Like, we never would have met if we weren't, like, if it weren't for romance, and also if we weren't trapped in our homes desperate for connection with somebody.
Yeah, I think it's, like, I feel like in some ways, like, this year has taught me, like, because I haven't seen people in a year, and since February 2020, and so I realized I had to make commitment, because I was like, I would go crazy. And, like, so I went and it just slid on people's DMs, and I was like, oh, I think you'll be fine, you know, we can chat. And, you know, and I've gotten better about, like, just connecting, staying connected afterwards, like, you know, like, see, how are you doing? How can I support you? Like, in the spirit of collaboration, I think it's, like, such a big part of that. Like, it's not, like, competing against each other. Like, I feel like in romance community, it feels like we're helping each other. There's more than enough to go around, you know?
Yes. And that is the sort of feminist energy that I am so about. And that, you know, Hookup State of Mind was co-written by me and Amelia J. Rose, who wrote our first season, but Rachel and I were the editors for 10-week Turnabout. And it's all just so collaborative, so building each other up, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. So that sort of powerful feminist energy that I'm totally about.
Yeah. Yeah. Just supporting each other. Like, there's enough to go around. Like, I feel like, you know, every so often I'll hear someone's, like, getting salty. It's like, oh, you stole my idea, or you stole this. And I'm like, you know, like, there's enough to go around. Like, there's
shine theory, man. Yeah.
There's always an audience. There's always someone who wants to support you, you know? So let's just support each other.
Yes.
And let's slide on people's DMs and become best friends. You know?
Yes.
So I love this. So other podcasts you recommend? I think that could be a fun, you know, thing for our podcast listeners, you know?
Yes. So in terms of, well, I'll say Audible Originals first. I am, just because there's one I'm particularly obsessed with, which is Call Me Maybe.
Oh my God. There's a follow-up.
Yes. It's coming in April.
It is.
Oh my God. It's already April. Holy crap. You're right. I'm like, it's coming next month. Wait, this month. Yes. I'm really excited, and I'm really intrigued by it because, right, it's written for audio. And I also just love, like, I love the hero in that. Give me a good beta hero. I'm no taste for alphas. I don't like it. And I think that's another thing that in, like, writing romance, having to write alphas gave me such, like, a distaste for it. I was like, this is icky. If I met a guy like this in real life, I would run this is terrible.
Yeah.
No.
We're a pretty anti-alpha organization.
Yeah. I'm like, no, this is not like, no, girl, run. So I do love that. I love that. In terms of fiction podcasts, I will, gosh, oh man, now I got to pick favorites. Oh, that's tough. I'll come back to that.
Just say a couple, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like the classic is Night Vale.
Night Vale is a classic. Absolutely is.
That was the first ever fiction podcast I listened to. That just totally opened up a whole world to me. I just feel like I haven't done nearly as much research into this world as Becca has, but at that time I hadn't listened to any other fiction podcast. So it was truly seemed like the first of its kind. I don't know if historically that is true, but so original, and I'm a big fantasy sci-fi nerd. So I just gobbled it up truly.
It's a very short series, but there's a fiction podcast called Mother Hacker that's about a mom who is struggling to pay the bills, and she gets a job like basically doing like phishing schemes on the phone in like a hacking organization where she like gets good at like calling people and pretending to be their bank and being like, oh yeah, we just need the last 4 digits of your social security number to confirm XYZ, right? But she's doing it because she needs to like feed her family, and then her kids like find out. So that's a super, super good fiction podcast. I love that one. The Black Tapes is one that's kind of like a little spooky that I really, really love. Highly recommend that. And then in terms of like nonfiction podcasts that are just like a little bit more conversational, anything by the McElroy brothers is just, again, just like my brother and me brings me so much joy. Las Culturistas brings me so much joy. Just like goofy podcasts talking about pop culture or talking about, or just like that. It just sounds like being in a room with your friends. I love it.
I love this. Oh my gosh. I love these recommendations. These are great. Yeah. I've been driving into, I had your podcast. I love it. And I was like, I need more fiction podcasts, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like a great way to consume books, because I cannot read. So I had a job back in the day, went back in my temp days, you know, and yeah. I basically only had like 3 hours worth of work. So then I read a book, and that's all I did.
What a dream.
It was great. It was a dream job. And so I no longer have that job. I have a more, requires more work, but I can listen to audiobooks at work. So perfect. I've been like consuming them. Like I have a bunch of library cards, and I just like go around and like just consume an audiobook, and I'm like, oh, you know, just gets in the story. And so fiction podcasts, it's like the same thing, you know, just in a podcast form. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. You should definitely listen to Mother Hacker, because it's also, it's funny. And that's what I like, right? It's like, it's lighthearted, and it's, and those are fun too, because like the one season, there's one season, it's the whole story, which I love. Cause like Night Vale is great, but it's so like, it just goes on and on and on and on. It's like, oh God, I need resolution. So, but God, I mean, yeah, I think fiction podcasts got so much bigger in, I think really just in the pandemic, because it's another way to do theater and another way to consume stories. So it's really interesting to watch that market grow. And we, you know, it took us about a year's worth of work to make the first season of Consensual. And then just in time for it to come out just as this fiction podcast boom started happening, which is really interesting. We didn't do it on purpose, but worked out that way.
Amazing. So Becca and Rachel, tell us where we can find you online.
Yes. So you can find us on Instagram at consensualpod. You can find us at, if you search consensual, exactly the way you think it would be spelled, or Hookup State of Mind or 10 Week Turnabout on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you know, pretty much wherever you get your podcasts, not everywhere, but close. And then I am Begriz Writes on TikTok, BEEGRIZ Writes, as in writing, where I talk about ghostwriting things and just writing things in general.
I love this. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having us. This has been so lovely.
This has been great.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit whatyourenextblog.com. The What Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourenextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.